Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 11th day of April 2025. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and tonight, our highly capable programmer, producer, is none other than, who's there?
Seth, hello.
I knew it.
We're kind of capable, we'll just say that.
Highly capable. I thought I'd throw that at you.
Thank you.
And you know who else we have out there? He's highly acclaimed, and he's a very distinguished co-host on Friday night. And he was the co-founder of Cops for Christ International, and, well, he's written a lot of books. But more than that, he loves my songs. None other than John McTernan.
That's funny, Pastor Ernie. God bless you, all our listeners, and may we have a blessed, blessed show tonight.
All righty. Okay.
Didn't I tell you, you sound, I thought you were Johnny Cash. Didn't I say that?
Yeah. But you waited until he'd been dead for a long time, and you said that I looked like him. No. You know, a lot of people say that, some of my songs there. I hear that train a-coming, now it's coming round the bend, or don't fall into that burning lake of fire, right? Anyhow.
Right.
We have a lot to cover. We better get at it because we got more to cover than we have airtime tonight to do it. So let's get right at it. The title of the message was the unsealing is now. Do you understand? We started in Daniel chapter 12 and verses 1-4, and we took a look at what the tribulation period, the coming tribulation period, the nation of Israel, Michael the archangel, the prince of Israel, and then we took a look at the resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the dead, and we saw how there was going to be 1,000 years in between the first resurrection and the second resurrection, and then we went from the rapture of the church, and we took a look at that, and then we took a look at the rapture of the tribulation saints. So tonight we're going to finish up, John, in here as we finish the white throne judgment in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And so you want to take it, let's take them verse by verse, okay? So,
okay, I'm ready.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And so here now, you know, when we're talking about, Peter talks about the heavens when they fled away. So when the fire from heaven falls on the hosts, and remember, Gog and Magog, it's going to burn them all up. It's going to burn up the earth. And the atmospheric heaven as well, fulfilling the prophecy of 2 Peter. Let's see, what was this? 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it was, in verse 10. He talks about it's going to purge the earth from all the, age-long effects of God's curse. And so, remember when they referred to that all of the, we'll pick up on that later, but let's go to verse, when he says the dead. Here, the dead here are the unsaved, when he refers to, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Okay, so here are the unsaved dead. Their bodies have been raised in the second resurrection in order to stand before God in the judgment. Now, do you think that will include, okay, let me see. My thoughts on this, there's so many things involved here. But anyhow, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, besides, you know, the 66 books we have in the canon, the Bible speaks of seven other books. And one of those books that people confuse is the book of life and the book of the living. They're two different books. And here, when he says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. So let me ask you a question, because I hear tell that you're a pretty smart guy. Let me ask you this. As we know the book of the living, remember King David asked not to be blotted out. This simply meant that when you were blotted out of the book of the living, you know, you ceased to live. You would die. But here the book of life is talking about eternal life. But the question is this, and this is a question that a lot of Bible scholars have been asking. Do you think that everybody was originally written in the book of life and then their names were blotted out? What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, that's a real interesting question, and I just want to say something before I get into that question. I personally believe that the book of life is the Bible, and that in heaven there are many, many dimensions, way more than here, and that all are the Bible. Now, stay with me on this. The Bible will, every person's name will be in the Bible, Pastor. Because what happens to the Bible, there's no mention of it. Like, we got the Word of God now, Jesus is the living Word. What happens to the Bible after we go to be in heaven with him? So I think that the book of life is the Bible, Pastor Ernie.
Well, in a sense, we know that when it talks about the believers, when it talks about the believers, it talks about those that are, whose names are written, in that sense, we all are in God's Word, the Bible.
Yes,
at
exactly.
least the King. We're in the King exactly. James Bible. I wouldn't say much for the perversions
out there.
Well,
you know, Pastor Ernie, yeah, that's what you said is absolutely true, because these modern translations, how much is missing compared to the King James? I mean, it's like the whole book of Ephesians is missing. It's paragraphs taken out, sentences taken out, words taken out. So, yeah, what you're saying is true. These modern translations have missing so much of the
word. You know, it's an amazing thing to me, John, because I know a number, as you do too, of theologians, Bible teachers, that know this. They know this. And still they'll teach out of the New Age perversions.
And I think it's pride because they're scholars. The average person doesn't do that, Pastor Ernie. It's the scholars, pride, knowledge puffeth up. And they think that they know what is the Bible, Pastor Ernie. Not see, me and you, we receive the King James by faith. By faith. And by faith, you know, the authors of the King James, they used the Jewish manuscripts for the Hebrew manuscripts for the Old Testament. They accepted that. The new
Masoretic text, yeah.
The Masoretic text. But these scholars come along and they say that they know what is the Word of God. They know it intellectually. So they use inferior manuscripts against the manuscripts that were received by faith by the translators of the King James. So it's their pride, Pastor Ernie. It's their pride pitted against receiving the Bible by faith.
Well, those translators of the King James were the top theologians of their days. But those guys, they had an impetus. I mean, they knew when the King says, get it right, don't let there be any errors. I want no errors. They knew that their head was on the line, because you didn't. This was very, very important. The one thing you didn't mess up was the Word of God. But you know, I've studied the manuscripts and I've studied that for years. And in every single way, there is the King James Bible is superior. I mean, by far. I mean, not just a little, by far. Okay, superior to all of those out there. And again,
You know my background, and yeah. I spent an enormous amount of time years ago debating rabbis, Judaism's anti-missionaries, Muslim apologists, you name them. And I used the King James, and it never, ever let me down, Pastor Ernie, never. And I watched NIV preachers take on the, we'll say the rabbis. They got eaten alive, Pastor Ernie. It was scary to see how the NIV could not stand up against like Muslim apologists and Judaism's apologists. But the King James, I had no problem with it. No problem standing with it, using it. Never could they get to me like they could get to the NIV preaching.
Well, they've removed 64,000 words from the King James in the NIV. He's got 64,000 less words than the King James Bible. That is a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll just share this quickly. With the King James, one of the things that the Muslim and the Jewish apologists know about the NIV. See, in the King James, it says that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. But in these other translations, they say he's God's one and only Son. And they use that, saying that, no, that's error, because Jesus Christ is not the one and only Son, because we're also the sons of God. Now, that's through adoption. So they say, and then these scholars that are debating the rabbis try and go into the Hebrew, and the Greek, and they try and go into this, and they can't defend the NIV because Jesus Christ isn't in their Bible, or their, not Bible, their book, he's not the only begotten Son of God. I had no problem debating them, standing on he's the only begotten Son of God, and that we are the adopted Son of God, the sons of God. So I don't want to take up too much time, but did you see how I'm presenting this, Pastor Ernie? Because I want all our listeners to understand this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what you're saying here when it comes to that. Recently, Paula White had come out and announced that that Jesus Christ was not the only begotten Son of God. That's an error. Of course, she also had a lot of criticism of the Apostle Paul, but the whole Word of Faith movement believes that that Jesus was not the only begotten Word of God, and the only begotten Son of God, rather.
Yeah, well, they can't say that using the King James, so that's just a word. That's proof that they're not using it.
I know.
They've used these modern translations. No, he is the only begotten Son of God, and that's what our faith is built upon. My faith is based upon that Jesus Christ is the holy, sinless, only begotten Son of God.
God didn't give us 100 different versions. He gave us one, and there's one that stands out way, way, way above all the others, and that's God's Word, the King James Bible. But let me get into this, because now we're running a little late. And he says here, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And of course, you know, under those that die without Christ, they die under the law. They're judged by the law. And then the Bible says what it comes according to their works. When they're judged according to the works, they've got to be sent to hell. They've got to be sent to hell for... The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, we're talking about apart from Christ, okay? There's none righteous, no, not one. By the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. Romans 3, verses 10 and 20. Now, they have... It's because what? Well, they've either rejected or ignored God's grace and Christ's infinite love for their dying and dying for their sins, so... here he goes on to say, "And the sea gave up."
Can I add a verse, Pastor Ernie? Can I add a verse?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Titus 3:5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." We need a new nature put in us, Pastor Ernie. We have a sin nature. So, When we need to be born again, as John said in John chapter 3, born again means we have our nature is dead, our sin nature is dead, and we have the new nature of Jesus Christ placed in us. That's the renewing of the washing of the Holy Spirit. Works can never renew us, never.
So I hear you.
That's why by works you could never have eternal life.
Well, your works are—they're not counted for anything apart from Christ. Okay, now faith without works is dead. I mean, works are the evidence of faith, but apart from Christ, they don't count
right.
for anything. And so,
exactly.
Then he says this in verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." Now, I want you to think about that, John, because the time of the flood. The population of the earth was about what it is right now. Most of the estimates by your Bible scholars out there today, and even geologists, would tell you that the population of the earth was about 8 billion people at that time. So just think about how many were in the sea. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now, when you had death and hell... Often, we see death is often synonymous with the grave. We talk about that over in 1 Corinthians 15, where dead bodies are confined, whereas hell, the word there in the Greek is Hades, is the place where the souls of the dead are confined. And, of course, you had, huge multitudes of dead were in the sea. And just think about all those that... went to the sea. I know that in some countries and some amongst some people that when they cremate, I know that even the barbarians and a lot of these people there, these Norwegian people, and that when they cremated their relatives, they cast their ashes to the sea with some kind of a custom. But anyhow, so just think about how many people that the sea gave up. It's got to be amazing, right?
Oh, yeah, Pastor. I mean, with the Great Flood, there's, billions.
And then he goes on to say, and the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So what happens here, those that were, again, in the sea, those that were in the earth and that, they were resurrected. They're resurrected, so they're given a body again. They're given a body. And then they're cast into the lake of fire, so where they're going to die again. This is the second death. Now, question is, because most of your Bible scholars believe that this is a continuous act of dying, a continuous act of dying. What do you think?
I absolutely believe that, Pastor Ernie. We have an eternal body that never dies, because ours is exactly like Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit forever. They have a body that is continually dying because they do not have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't have a body like Jesus Christ. So, yes, both are eternal.
So while the believers will have a continuously living, those that are in death and hell, they'll be continuously dying forever.
Yeah, it's not soul sleep as some promote it. You don't exist anymore. Like, no, it's an eternal body that's eternally dying.
Yes, they base that whole soul sleep doctrine on just one verse in Scripture. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how you can really go there where it talks about in the torment, and the smoke of your torment goes up forever and ever. And then if you read over in Mark very quickly, I just want to jump over to the book of Mark real fast here and read Mark 9, where the Lord Jesus said, and if the hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, unto the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is quenched not. Well, that kind of says it pretty clear, huh?
Absolutely. It's not symbolic or anything like that. It's literal.
Yep, the smoke of their torment rises up forever and ever. We better stop right there. I got a couple quick announcements to make. One is that, where'd my announcements go here? I got them here someplace. Geauga County Tea Party is Monday night, this Monday night, the 14th, and that is going to be held at the Metzenbaum Center at 6:30 p.m. Monday at 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. And we're going to be talking about, we're having a special election here on the 5th of May, and we're going to be talking about what's going to be on the ballot, because the opposition, they plan these where people, they don't want a lot of people to come out. This is how they sneak their mischief in, and we have to keep warning the people. And so we're going to be talking about what's going to be on the ballot. You want to vote no on issue two, absolutely no, 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 no on issue two. And then also we got to tell you this, if you would like our newsletter, the newsletter is free. We get a lot of good response back from the newsletter. Folks, all you have to do is just go up on our website to wrwl.org, or just call the office and very, very clearly leave your name and your address, zip code. That number you would call would be 440 440-338-1036. That's 440-338-1036. And we'll put you on that newsletter. It's information that the opposition does not want you to have. It's all the stuff that, and many, many people make copies of that, which is good, and they pass them out. In fact, when we did that thing with the religious exemption on taking the COVID shot, a lot of people made a lot of copies, passed them out, and we got a tremendous response where people, they took those to their employers, and their employees let them stay there without taking the kill shot. We'll be back right after this.
Had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way out. Anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not going to take it anymore. You hear that, Matt Hoffman? We want House Bill 12 and House Bill 112 passed. We want it brought to the floor for a vote, or I'm going to turn Stephanie Stock loose on you. And we have Stephanie from Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom. We want our freedom, our medical freedom. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi there. Do you feel like you just had me on? Not sick of me yet, I guess.
No, listen. Say hi to John McTernan.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on tonight. The topic, however, it's not medical freedom this time because, as I told you guys a few days ago, none of the medical freedom amendments that we requested into the budget were accepted by Huffman and Stewart. So we have to carry on, you know, the regular pathway for our legislation. But Wednesday was a crazy day. Are you guys both familiar with the $600 million Brown Stadium bond that everybody?
Oh, yeah, we've been seeing about that. I understand that passed, right?
That passed, but how it happened was really crazy. So Huffman strikes again. Like, we didn't need another reason to be upset with him. But what happened was, and you guys know a little bit about it, it's the bonds. They'd have to pay back the bonds, but the catch is if something happens and they don't make the tax revenue that they think they're going to make, then the tax payers could be on the hook for up to $550 million, right? And they polled Ohioans, and 80% of Ohioans did not want it in the budget. So that alone should have said, okay, we're not going to do it. Even if they tried to come up with fancy reasons to keep it, if 80% of the voters don't want it, you need to not do it because you're there to represent the people, not yourselves or your own interests or patting your billionaire buddies on the back or whatever. So,
we already have a stadium. We already have a stadium.
I know. You're already losing in the current one. Can't they just keep losing as well? I know. I'm so bad. I'm not really a sports person. I don't really have time for it, but I know there's a lot of people that are Browns fans and some that are like, eh. But what happened was, there were some conservatives that were like, listen, we're not going to take this. Voters don't want it. We don't care if Huffman wants it. The people don't want it. So they had a plan to try to get it removed from the budget with an amendment. But here's the catch. And here's where Huffman, you know, here's where Huffman comes in with his attack. So Huffman has a rule, House rule, that says if you can't amend one section of a bill twice. So they found out, some of the conservatives were going to try to get this $6 billion Browns, or $6 billion Browns bonds out of the budget. So what he did was he called on Representative Stewart. Oh, there's that name again. Called on him to put forward his own amendment that was regarding that section of the bill. And what happened was originally they only had to put up front $35 million, and he increased it to $50 million, right? Voted on that, and then once they voted on that, when Ron requested the removal of the bond, Huffman called the rule out of order because it was amending the same section. So basically what he did was he took a rule, he got his buddy to stand up and protect his pet project so they could tell Ron Ferguson that his amendment to remove it was out of order. Total shenanigans. Then Rep Gross tries to stand up just to speak against the bond, just to get the word out of why they were against it. He won't acknowledge her on the floor. One of the strongest, if not the strongest, conservative down there. I mean, this was insane. Then Representative Brennan stood up, and he requested to amend Stewart's amendment because he couldn't request an amendment for the bond directly. So he requested to amend Stewart's amendment. Then Huffman cuts off his mic, because this is during, you know, I'm watching this live, House Session Live. He cuts off his mic, there's this long pause, and then he says he's calling for a short recess. And then they come back from recess. He calls that guy's amendment out of order. Are we seeing a pattern yet? I mean, this is crazy. Then the next thing that happens is, you guys remember the previous House Speaker, Jason Stevens, right?
Mm-hmm.
He attempts to stand up multiple times. Somebody told me it was 10, 11 times. He tries to stand up to be acknowledged because he has an amendment to give tax cuts for every Ohioan. So what that one was going to do was, I think the current tax level is anybody making under $25,000 a year didn't pay taxes. Well, he raised it to anybody $30,000 and under didn't have to pay taxes. And then he had tax cuts in all of the brackets over $30,000. He was refused to be acknowledged, so we didn't get tax cuts in the budget. Thank you, Huffman. I mean, this was crazy. This, if you guys have any questions about the first part, I'll take questions, and then I can tell you about the next thing that happened. Do you guys have any questions about how that went down?
Well, yeah, that's why you're here. Go ahead.
Okay, to get going. Okay, so then after that, of course, all the conservatives are really upset because they wanted to get that out. So Representative Ferguson comes out again with a second amendment. Now, this amendment would have removed a section in the budget that allowed taxpayer-backed stadium infrastructure loans. So this was separate than the bonds. The bonds thing is a different path, and that had to be approved by the legislature. This provision would have made it so direct taxpayer-backed loans would be able to go for stadium infrastructure. So any stadium, which means anything that surrounds the stadium. So when they build a stadium, they have to change out the roads, the plumbing, electric, whatever, right? So this is loans to do all of that stuff, but taxpayer loans. And so that is done through a governor-appointed director of development. So they're the ones that decide if these stadiums get these taxpayer-funded loans. So it completely bypasses the House or the Senate members. So he wanted to get rid of that because it would have prevented now they're saying Cincinnati Bengals want money, some other sports facility. Now they all want to dip into the pot now, right? Because they know, oh, the Browns are getting something. We want something. So he introduces that. Then Marilyn John stands up because, of course, Huffman's mad because he doesn't want this messed with either. So she gets up and says, let's table this amendment. Let's vote to table the amendment, meaning we're going to vote to not vote on taking Ron Ferguson's amendment. I know it gets confusing. And so they take the vote, and it's a tie. I mean, this is crazy. So when it's a tie, then you're forced to vote on the amendment. But then everybody was confused because it was like crazy town. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. They've got all these amendments. All these things have already been struck down. So they took the vote, and this was a vote. The vote for Ron's amendment meant they were going to not adopt the ability for these taxpayer-funded loans for stadiums. So a yes vote meant yes on Ron's amendment. We won't be doing those loans. So we had 49. We had 50 no's and 49 yeses. We lost by one vote. And then a few of the reps are like, oh my gosh, we just messed up. We didn't vote the right way. So then Representative Barhorst, he says, okay, we got to change this because there is a pathway you can take if you voted incorrectly and your vote would have changed the final outcome of whether something passed. You can go file with the clerk for a motion. It's a motion to revote, basically. So Tim goes down for this motion to revote because he and a couple other members want to change their vote to a yes and pass the amendment. Well, the clerk has to notify the speaker when that happens. The speaker's not blind to this. So Barhorst goes back to his seat. He stands up to give this motion to reconsider so they can call the vote again, and they have enough votes now to actually pass Ferguson's amendment, and he won't acknowledge Tim on the floor. And then instead, he calls, oh my gosh, guess who he calls? Stewart. So he has Stewart stand up. Stewart gives a little mini speech, calls the vote on the budget, and boom, budget's done, and now it's going to go to the Senate. So, I mean, the amount of shenanigans that goes on down there, not only do they ignore the voice of the people, they ignore the representatives that are standing up for the people. I mean, it was so terrible to watch. This is not my issue, of course, because the medical freedom is like my primary issue.
Yeah, we need to tell Stephanie. Some of the listeners out there, because you know we're coast to coast, and so they have to understand that what we have a Republican majority in the House and the Senate by far, but we have a number of rhinos, and the rhinos have managed what they've done. These Democrats ran as Republicans, got elected because people didn't vet them. They just looked and they saw the R behind their name, and there are a lot of out-of-state money came into Ohio to help get these rhinos elected. And then, so they're really Democrats, but even though they have an R behind their name, the Democrats all vote with them. And that's why we keep losing these things here. And we try to warn people. I really, really try to warn people about what was going on there. And, now they know, but go ahead and pick it up where you left off.
No, so I was just, I mean, that's, I just basically wanted to kind of walk you guys through the process. I mean, and this is, you know, this is the budget, of course, but this is the kind of stuff that goes on. Like, whether they're killing a medical freedom bill, rewriting it, whether it's the budget, you know, or it's a gun bill, whatever. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in Columbus. And what happens is they think they can get away with this stuff because they think that the voters aren't paying attention. And so that's why I'm always trying to sound the alarm, and I'm sure that those guys love me down there for doing this, but it needs to be done because there has to be a bridge between the politicians and the grassroots, letting people know, what is your representative doing? I mean, they are supposed to be representing us. So, you know, it's our job, though, when they don't, to hold them accountable for that. So, you know, what we have to do now is now we have to take it over to the Senate and be like, okay, Senate, are you going to ignore the people too? Or are you going to pull this thing out? Because the voters don't want it. So it's now it's
well,
going to be.
Well, you better start contacting the Senate right now then, okay, and getting that word out.
Yep. So, of course, at the end of the day, the person in charge is always the leader, right? So it'll be the Senate president that will make the ultimate decision on whether they allow amendments or whatever. So that's going to be Rob McCauley. So that's the person that you're going to want to call for saying, "Hey,
okay, let's
you
okay,
want this
you say,
out of the bill."
Tell me that name money. Again, Rob.
Rob McCauley.
No.
Senator Rob McCauley. I have his email and his phone number ready for you because I know, Ernie, that you are.
Do you have his number first? Give me. Okay, give us his number first.
So his phone number is 614-466-8150.
Okay, let's see. Try that again. 466. Give me the rest of that.
8150. The area code is 614.
Okay.
And the number is 466-8150.
Okay. 850. Okay.
And then he has an email too. If somebody wants to send him an email, it's mccollei@ohiosenate.gov.
All right. Well, we have most of the people out there they'll call. And
okay.
That number is 614-466-8150. And
yes, sir.
Speaker Rob McKay?
It's the Senate President, Rob McCauley.
Rob McKay, Senate President. Okay. And
when they call him, they can tell him he's welcome to put the medical freedom amendments in if he wants to be a hero on that side.
All righty. So
drop the Browns and pick up medical freedom. There you go.
All right. So tell the folks out there why it's so important to pass that medical freedom bill, because what would that medical freedom bill do? It would give the doctors the freedom to go ahead and actually tell the truth and not have to worry about being fined or censured for saying what the big pharma doesn't want them to say. And
yes,
how would that work with when you go into your
pharmacy? Put in the budget. Yes, it would do that. That's free medical speech. Also, make sure that when you go to fill a prescription that your doctor has given you that you consented to, that the pharmacist can't obstruct you from getting that prescription. So those are the big key takeaways. That's for both inpatient and in the hospital and for outpatient pharmacies.
So what kind of situations have we had? I know that when this whole COVID thing came along, they tried to stop you from getting ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, but we managed to get a good supply of it anyhow. But what other things would that apply to?
So the bill will apply to any drug your doctor prescribes for you, because you never know whether it's bird flu or whatever the next thing China throws at us. If they find a treatment that works, and then they say, oh, we don't want to give them that treatment, because if they gave you a treatment that works, then they can't give you an experimental vaccine, right? So we wanted to leave it very broad so that doctors could really treat patients again. So we didn't narrow it down to any particular drugs. What we did was omit drugs that the bill wouldn't apply to, and those drugs are, it will not apply to controlled substances, it will not apply to abortion drugs or puberty blockers or any drugs used for the purpose of euthanasia. So those drugs will, whatever is done with those drugs now is however they're going to continue to be handled. The protections of this bill apply to any other drug but those drugs.
Okay, so what about some of these stores? We don't want them selling the, RU486. We don't want that, I know, especially giving it to these young girls in high school and that.
Oh, I know, it's terrible. Yeah, this bill's not going to allow that to happen. So, because like I said, this bill will not apply to any abortifacients at all.
Okay.
So that's in regular current law is going to be how that rolls. But unfortunately, we have that horrible amendment. So I don't know. I don't know that there's going to be a way for that to be restricted other than the pharmacist declines for a moral or conscientious objection, which is still protected under state law. But, you know, as far as this bill goes, it's not going to apply to those drugs. We wanted to make sure this only applies to potentially life-saving drugs that people are trying to get well.
All right, one more time. We want to let the folks out there know, folks, write this down. Senator President Rob McKay, that number is 614-466-8150. We want a medical freedom bill, and we want it passed. And does that bill have, do we have a number yet?
Yeah, it's HB 12, and we already have an amendment drafted for that to be put in the budget. So if Senator McCauley is willing to put that in the budget, we would be extremely grateful for that, and we'd be happy to get him the proper amendment that it could go right into the budget. It's already been drafted.
All right, very, very good. All right, well, I thank you. Listen, Stephanie, we're going to be moving on to some national news and things, but you're welcome to stay with us if you'd like.
Well, I got my hubs waiting for me, so I will go ahead and let you guys go. Keep up the good work for letting me get the word out what's going on here in Ohio.
All righty. Well, we're you know, you've got an open forum. Whenever you need to get the word out, we're here.
All right. So, thank you so much, Ernie. You guys have a great night.
You too. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to go back to Big John McTurner because he knows so much. Big John, tell us about some of the things that's happening out there tonight, what we were talking about earlier.
Well, Pastor Ernie, every day it's amazing what's going on and how this thing's being revealed. So there's so many things here. Let me narrow in on a couple of them. When Vice President Vance went to Greenland, what was it, last week?
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, Greenland has become important, brought up by President Trump. And the reason it's important is it's strategic. There's oil there. There are all sorts of minerals there. And the Russians want it, and the Chinese are involved in it also. And they are, it's dangerous with the Russians because they could move on it. They have an Arctic Navy there. They could move on it, and really that would, there's no way to defend it. So Vice President Vance went to Greenland. We have a military base there, and he spoke. And about a couple days later, the general at the base, she wrote an email and sent it to everyone there at the base saying how troubled she was by what Vance said. And she knows that they feel troubled also. And she was trying to console them because of President Trump's policy about Greenland. And she was fired yesterday. She spoke openly against President Trump's policy. He's the commander in chief, Ernie. But what a relief it was to see insubordination like that dealt with instantly, and she's gone.
Well, she should be court-martialed. You know what she did. That's an insurrection. And you know, here again, we know the importance because you're right. They would take very little force to take that island of Greenland, okay? And it's good that we have a military base there. Or if we didn't have that military base, they would have been gone a long time ago, huh?
Who could stop Russia? That's Russia's like territory up there. So no one in the world could stop Russia.
And that, so the location there is
strategic,
too. The power
of the United States that stopped it, and Trump said he wants to make it like a protectorate, Pastor Ernie.
Well, you know, what nation is it that is it Denmark? What nation is it that supposedly it comes under their protection?
Yeah, it's Denmark, and I've read how this relationship between Denmark and Greenland, and it's kind of bizarre. I don't know. I after reading it, I still didn't understand it. Denmark's independent, but it's not independent. Greenland is under Denmark's control, but it's independent. And so I don't fully understand it, but there's some legal connection between Denmark and Greenland.
Well, do you know that? Denmark is supposed to provide protection, military protection. Do you know that New York Police Department, the city of New York has more police officers in it than Denmark has soldiers in their army? So, what kind of how much?
You brought up something else, Pastor Ernie. Germany. There's a big divide now between the United States and Europe, and NATO is in the middle of this because Europe is fast coming under the New World Order, Pastor Ernie. It's blocking the rights of the people. It's becoming like a totalitarian one nation, not all of them, but many, many nations in Europe. So the Germans want to act and the British want to act separate from us, and they're really going to take Putin on. So the Germans said they're sending a mechanized brigade of 5,000 men to, I think it's Lithuania, to defend Lithuania against the Russians. And the British are going to send a brigade also. But the problem is neither one of them will be able to raise a brigade until 2027, Pastor Ernie. They totally rely on the United States for their defense. Totally.
Yeah, I know.
And,
that's amazing.
And we don't want to go down the road to war with Russia, so they're all upset now, and we're becoming the enemy now of Europe. They want to raise their own army.
We're coming up to a break. You know, to go to a war with Russia, John, would have to be a nuclear war because Russia's army is being depleted rapidly. But we'll be back right after this. With a whole lot more. A lot more to come, so don't go away. Big John's got a lot to tell you. All righty. Be right back.